The scripture this morning is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 12, verse 2. Before we read the scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are worthy of our worship and adoration. We thank you for your Holy Spirit filling our hearts. As we have prayed together, as we have sung your praises together, as we have read scriptures together, and now we pray that we would bow in worship to listen, to yield to the Holy Spirit speaking through us, through this word to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from God's word, Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 32 to 12:2. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In 1923, France and England's track teams were in a battle neck to neck with of the remaining events was the 440-yard dash. And as the runners in the 440-yard dash were dressed in the traditional white trunks and shirt, rounded the first bend of the 440-yard dash, they were pressed together tightly, shoulder to shoulder, when one of the runners was knocked down off the tracks. Anyone who's seen Chariots of Fire knows who I'm talking about. Eric Liddell. And what Eric Liddell did was he got up, he continued the race, And along with the leaders, he emerged down the stretch and he won that race. And when it was knocked down, it was 20 yards behind. What would most runners have done? Probably a few, I know, would shake their fist in anger. Most would dust themselves off and quit. Stop. Just figuring, I'll never be able to catch up. Disheartened because they're good competitors. But Eric Liddell kept his eyes on the goal that he wanted to run his best for the glory of God. Because Eric Liddell ran his races in life the way he lived the rest of his life, running the best for the glory of God. So in spite of the agony and the fatigue, he kept his eye on the goal. He ran his best, and in that race, he won. But he would have been a winner had he not won that race, because he gave his best for the glory of God. That is what it means to run the Christian life in the grip of God's grace, focusing all of the energy and strength, your faith in Christ, on the goal of running your best for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be tired today, but the Lord is speaking to you. And you might be physically challenged today, but the Lord is speaking to you. You might be economically challenged today, but the Lord is speaking to you. You might be in good health today, but the Lord is speaking to you. And what the promises and encouragements and challenge from the Word of God says is that God wants you to run your best in the race of the Christian life, knowing that Jesus Christ has run the race from his perfect life and death on the cross. So you are a winner in Christ if you run trusting God. Are you running trusting God right now? You know, the Bible says you're an athlete. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says, while we look at the things not that are seen, but that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Do you know what's wonderful? What's wonderful is this. If you are in a hospital bed, you are a winner for Christ if you've trusted in Jesus Christ and are living for him. Do you know what's wonderful? No matter what economic challenges you have, spiritual challenges, physical challenges, if you are running the race of life, trusting in Jesus Christ, enduring whatever hardships for Christ, you are a winner in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the writer of Hebrews, who we don't know, We don't know who it is. However, the writer of Hebrews recognized that people would be enraptured by sports, just like we are in our culture. And he draws a picture of the Christian life from the main sports events of the day, which was running. There were three in Greece, and they were run every year. Three separate events. There were the Olympic Games from Mount Olympus in Greece. There were the Pythian Games that were run in various places in Greece. And then there was another event, the Isthmian Games, that were held in Corinth. Now, these events went one after another, so just like our culture, You know, if you love, this is a great time of year if you love football and baseball. Baseball season, regular season's ending, right? So you can watch the playoffs. Well, football's starting, so you watch that too. And that's what a lot of people in that culture did. They were enraptured in sports. But the author of Hebrews says, are you enraptured for running for Jesus Christ? And he tells us how to run as a winner in Christ. So point number one is there's a purpose in Christ for us to seek after, to pursue. Therefore, because the champions of faith, those listed in Hebrews 11, have finished as winners in Christ, you also, by the grace of God, run, knowing that Jesus Christ has guaranteed you his grace and glory to finish the race of the Christian life. Run by the sovereign grace of God. Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that emphasizes we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Those champions of the faith who by the grace of God trusted in God Almighty, whose lives were testimonials, not to their great faith, but to their great God. Boast in God. Don't boast in the champions. And who are watching, who are peering, who are motivations for us to live with all we have in faith in Jesus Christ, because they've gone before us, before the promises were fulfilled in Christ. And they were faithful because they looked forward to the Redeemer to come. They suffered and fulfilled the purpose of God in their time. Some of them suffered greatly, like Isaiah, who by tradition was sawn in two. Some lived in dens and caves. Remember, it's not just terrorists that lived in caves. It's those who are faithful to Almighty God who will triumph in Christ over every act of terrorism in this world. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, remember, they are peering at you. They see you. You have a home field advantage. It's as if they're in the Olympic Stadium in the stands cheering you on by the testimony of their life. They inspire you by the grace of God to run with all that is in you. Have you ever considered that the saints in heaven are praying for you? Their intercessory prayers are as incense before Almighty God. They pray for you. They're one with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ prays for you. You can be sure the saints in heaven are praying, because they have now entered into the glories of heaven. But they minister before God day and night, worshiping and praying and serving. Don't forget that. Great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Abel encourages us in the faith because he tells us through his sacrifice to look to Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate picture of the sacrifice that Abel made. Abraham shouts to you from the stands, find your purpose in hoping in Jesus Christ, because God is faithful to all of his promises. Moses cheers you on, and he cheers everyone on who forfeits the worldly pleasures of this life fame and fortune to follow Jesus Christ. Read Hebrews 11 and be encouraged by all those who have gone before you. In other words, you're not here to go mindlessly through life, just making it through the grind of daily life. Oh, well, I got to endure. You have been created by the Lord and redeemed by Jesus Christ to be a winner in Christ and through Christ. God has sovereignly designed your race of the Christian life and the pace at which you are to move more and more to the goal of eternal glory through Jesus Christ. The pace of your sanctification, growth in holiness, is God's design. And it may be different than someone else. But everyone who is saved by the grace of God, it was God's sovereign grace that put you into the race. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in a race. And in that race, you are to run with faithfulness and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. The race of the Christian life. God has sovereignly designed a race for you to run, and you're not finished until your last breath. And you can't quit the race. We're not running to earn salvation. We're running because Jesus Christ ran in his perfect life and death from the cross, guaranteeing us grace and glory. And so we run because we love our Savior and we want to please him who gave his life for us. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you are qualified to run in the race, and that's the only thing that qualifies you. In the Olympic Games, no one could run in the race unless they ran from the country of which they were a citizen. Isn't it marvelous? Our citizenship is in heaven, and God saved you by his grace and put you in the race and has promised that Jesus Christ will be your empowerment all along the way. Now, what we need to see in this first point here is that the Apostle Paul, writing from a Roman prison, says these words in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. No one is excused from running the race for Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, you know, I press towards the tape with every inch and every ounce of strength in me, but it's the strength of Christ, not my own self-generated strength. And what is the prize? Well, the prize is to gain the resurrection from the dead when Jesus Christ returns. The prize is that Jesus Christ will make me like himself in every way. That's why Jesus died for me, and that is what he's bringing me towards. What an encouragement as we run the race that Jesus Christ's death and resurrection guarantees that the ultimate prize, the resurrection from the dead, we will attain to. And the Apostle Paul's determined, I'm not going to stop running until the race is over. Now, think about this. We are not in the race against each other. It's a bad thing when in the church there's competition. You're not trying to outrun your brothers and sisters in Christ. You ever hear the story about the two men? They were mountain climbing, and they looked behind them, and there was a big old grizzly bear sniffing in their tracks. So the one man sat down on a log, took off his hiking boots, put on his running shoes. And his friend said, "Why are you doing that? You're never going to outrun the bear." He said, "I don't have to outrun the bear. All I have to do is outrun you." That's not the kind of race we're in. We're not trying to outrun each other. It's as if we're on a relay team, serving alongside of each other, all dependent on Jesus Christ to run the race. The purpose is to trust in the all-sufficiency of God's grace to run the race and make progress, which is the second point. How do you make progress? Well, you know, every Olympic athlete sacrifices much of their life, years of their life, years of what they want to do in order to give their very best for a temporal prize. How much more should we seek to make progress in Christ-likeness? Through preparing and spiritually conditioning to run the race well for Christ. Look at verse 2. Or look at verse 1. Let us, that's a command, a plural command, lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now listen. We are to run in two ways. There are two areas in which we must, in order to make progress, prepare ourselves. We need to lay aside every weight. That is, the things that would hold us back, the things that would hinder us. In the Olympic Games, in Paul's day and in John's day, in the New Testament period, they would basically, the athletes would strip themselves of everything that was not necessary in order to run their very best. And that's still true today. If you're running in a race, you don't put an overcoat on. You don't put weights in pockets. You have on the proper trunks in order to run your best. You have on state-of-the-art shoes in order to run your best in the race. And the Apostle Paul, I think it's Apostle Paul, but it's probably not the Apostle Paul. However, I'm not sure who wrote it. But it's naturally for me to say Apostle Paul. You know what I mean. So anyway, but we need to lay aside what would hinder our progress. These are things that may not be wrong in and of themselves. These may be good things, at least on the surface. But they hinder us from building a closer relationship with God and from building a closer relationship with those in our family and with those in who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are hindrances. For example, buying into the entertainment culture, spending vast times looking at television programs that are objectionable, reading unwholesome literature, or friendships that cause you to compromise your faith in Christ, or habits or lifestyle that are hindrances to you in growing closer to Jesus Christ. And they may be good. But good things can become bad things when they keep you from God's best. We all need to evaluate in prayer and examine ourselves before God and the Word of God, and to ask, Lord, does this hinder my progress in living for your glory, in being the man or woman of God that you called me to be? Is it a weight that is holding me back and keeping me from your best? The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:23, everything's lawful for me, but not all things build up. As he viewed his own life, he said, there are things, yes, that are lawful and that are good, but they aren't going to build me up in terms of my witness for Christ, in terms of my call to serve God. Are there things in our lives that are hindering our influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ? The writer of Hebrews says, lay it aside. The second thing is the sin that clings so closely. In other words, what would that be? Sin that clings so closely. There are besetting sins. There are sins that we are especially tempted by, that we struggle with. That to cling means to entangle and to trip us up. You know, the most deadly enemy of faith is? It is sin. Unbelief to the living God. Sin is like a tick that burrows itself into your spiritual soul and sucks the energy right out of you. Is there sin in our lives that we need to repent of? You know, there is an order in Scripture. First grace, then mercy, then peace. Victory over sin comes through faith and repentance before the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of repentance leads to victory over besetting sin in our lives. And so God calls us to not simply look at our sin, but to look at our sin in the light of Jesus Christ's sufficiency. And to confess that sin before him, to take out the scriptures, and to look at the promises of God that apply to that area of unbelief and sin we struggle with. And to turn away from those sins by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not saying you are to go about repentance in your own strength and by your effort. That's penance. That's not repentance. Repentance is when we discover through the Holy Spirit in the Word of God that we have a besetting sin that is hindering our Christ-likeness, that is destructive to ourselves and others, and we go to our Savior, who is greater than that sin. We confess it to him, and plead for his help in overcoming it. And then we learn some scripture to help us when we're tempted with that particular sin or those sins. So the Apostle Paul says, you have victory, you make progress by staying in top spiritual condition, by laying hold of your Savior and laying hold of his promises. I want to stop here because I don't want to speed along the next 2 points. But I do want us to stop and to be reminded that Jesus Christ has won the race for you. So you are promised that you will have a self-safe delivery into his heaven and that God will complete the work he's done in your life. Therefore, pursue his purpose to run the race, trusting his power and grace, and make progress by laying aside the weights and by repenting and making progress with the sin that clings so closely. And I emphasize this, repentance is continuous. The Apostle Paul struggled his whole life with sin. He says in Romans 7, who's going to save me from this body of death? What's his answer? Thanks be to God who gives me the victory. Do you know what heartens me that victory is assured? And ought to hearten you? Jesus endured the cross joyfully for you because he saw you would be here today worshiping and praising him. He saw that you would make progress and one day lay the crown of life before his feet when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You endured such agony, spiritual agony, in separation from your Father, in bearing our sin, out of infinite love for us, that you have promised us a crown of life because you were willing to take a crown of thorns for us. Lord God, give us the grace to examine our lives, to let go of that which hinders our progress in you, and to live a life of yielded surrender of repentance to you, that we might grow in Christ-likeness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.